going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Derek Harmon started at Michigan State, grew up on Nine Mile Road in Detroit, became a Spartan, a Duck, and now a Steeler. Roger Goodell there, and then Harmon talking about his relationship with his mom, which we'll dive into a little bit more today. Mulsey's across from me. Donnie's here. Telephone number to join us and talk about it is 412-928-9370. I was prepared when I woke up this morning to say certain things about this pick, and now I'm not going to do it. I'm flipping the script. I was ready to play the role that I was basically born to play on this radio station.
Contrarian who makes everyone mad?
Devil's advocate.
Okay. Actually, I would get accused of being the contrarian, so that's a tough thing for a devil's advocate and a contrarian to work together.
Ratings seem to reflect people's...
Fair point.
Desire to listen to that, even though we don't have sponsors bringing us in cookies like evidently the midday show.
Yeah, what was going on with Bechtold? He's got cookies from sponsors for him personally, people who sponsor a segment. We need to have maybe that kind of relationship start forming.
Lawson made it sound like if we talk more Rutger McGroarty, maybe the guy would come in and give us cookies, but maybe that's a topic for another day. It is a topic for
another
day.
We probably talk more Rutger Hauer than Rutger McGroarty.
So, yeah, I was going to come in and speak maybe to the downside of this pick, but I feel like that's already been done.
You feel like Starkey stole a lot of thunder.
I've listened to the radio station for just about 8 hours today, and Crowley came on and said he would have taken Shedeur Sanders, and Joe came on and said he would have rather taken Jackson Dart. And so people have heard a lot of this was not a great pick. Now, I think both of you guys feel like it's a great pick, right? Like, do I have it wrong? Does anybody want to put any kind of buyer beware or caveat?
I just think it's a rock solid pick.
I'll get rock solid.
I'll get a lot more into my leg.
Rock solid is like a B plus. Rock solid is
I'm on
not...
B plus, A minus territory with this.
Okay. How about you, Don? Are you in this is a great thing? This
A
is
minus.
A minus.
And it has a little bit of a curve because I've had this guy going to the Steelers for a few weeks now.
Yeah, Donnie and I get to
and I
crow.
Stuck to those guns, baby.
Donnie and I get to crow that we ultimately had Harmon as the pick here.
Well, why are you not including me in that?
Didn't you say yesterday you still thought they were going to take Sanders?
No, I tweeted out my prediction before the draft started and said Derek Harmon, and then...
Well, congratulations. Remember, you can come in. The water's fine.
Remember that clear favorite tweet that I sent that I was all mad that the radio station
didn't...
Yeah,
they did not promote that nearly
promote
enough.
Promote it, and if they had, they would have made me look good, and the radio station would have looked better.
Yeah, so, I think there's ample cause for you to believe that they want you to look bad.
Yeah, I'm sure if I had put out some zany prediction that would have gone up on our website and then people would be like every time I post on Twitter throwing it back in my face. I was not expecting the radio station to have the tone of the Steelers are going to regret this because they passed on the quarterbacks. Yeah.
Starkey, to his credit, put his neck out there in print too and just wrote, like, the Steelers will regret passing on Dart, who went four picks later. I just disagree with that. You know what this pick, I'll give you my, I'll start us off here with this. This just feels like the kind of pick, and there's some caveats, so I'll explain. It feels like the kind of pick that they made often earlier in this century, like the first half of this century, we're 25 or 24 plus years in. Just a solid pick, a player that I expect maybe to not be a star or a superstar, but a really good player for them for two contracts. That's like my base level expectation here. Very good player who plays
only one of their last 10 first round picks.
That's why
have
I said
the second contract.
That is why I said the first half of this century.
Yeah.
Okay. So first half of the century, Casey Hampton, Ben Roethlisberger, Heath Miller. You have Troy Polamalu in there. You have Lawrence Timmons. You have Woodley, who was good for, I would say, a contract and a half. You have a lot of, now Woodley was a second round pick, but point is, they made a lot of picks in that chunk of time back when it was Colbert and Cowher and then early Colbert and Tomlin, where I just felt like rock solid player coming to the Steelers, safe pick. Crowley said B for boring. He clearly meant it derisively. I would say B for boring, and I mean it in a complimentary way.
Well, he's scared now about this medical thing. He came on and broke news and said it's a labrum issue that's going to need surgery.
Partial labrum. Well, no. I think people dispute whether it needs surgery.
Oh, so now you're calling out Crowley's sourcing?
We're having a guest come on later who, not even in a half hour from now.
Operation Shutdown, Derek Bell.
Yeah, who disputes, I think, whether this necessarily would need surgery, or maybe I misread his tweet, but...
So he's going on the offensive here with Crowley? And
it just says partial rotator cuff and then a labrum, partial tear or whatever.
But, so do we have damaged goods or not? Bottom line.
Let me give you an imperfection.
So we got a little deal on him because there's something that's not quite right about him that needs to get fixed.
No, because the presumption, I guess, about him was that he might slide a couple of spots because of this shoulder stuff, but that it wasn't the kind of injury that would drop him off the first round
board. And that's what I've heard from people, so I'm not panicking, but when I heard Adam say it this morning, and then Faribault followed up by saying a few teams took him off their board, I got very nervous. And just to finish the point, that's why I'm not taking this tact. But before I followed up with people, I was going to say that if that's true, Harmon is actually a bigger risk than Sanders. Because if the injury is such a big concern that he was taken off boards completely, that's worse than a player just falling out of the first round. That's some team saying he's undraftable. No one has confirmed that or said that to me. Everyone has poo-pooed and downplayed this. That it's something that needs to get cleaned up at the end of the season. But there is a small part of me that's like, I don't like starting off with someone being less than 100%.
It just doesn't bother me right now. And it's something, whatever the risk is.
Would it have bothered you if they had taken a player at a different position? Like if you found out they took a running back, and the first thing you found out about O'Marrion Hampton was that he needed to have labrum surgery,
It would have bothered me way more that they had taken a running back than they had taken one who required surgery.
Okay, so you would not have taken that hole and ran through it if you saw, I can also slander this pick for the injury.
No, I would not have done that. Okay. I would have said, I hate the positional value that they decided to opt for. I just think he's the kind of player that they took off in the first 10 to 12 years or thereabouts. Like maybe the line of demarcation for me is DeCastro is the end point, where it's just a really, I think, going to be a good to potentially very good NFL player, which is, I think, what you would hope for in the latter stages of the first round. You don't, you know, if you're picking number two overall, you hope you're drafting a future all pro and maybe a Hall of Famer. So I think it's a boring and good pick. I give it like an A-. The injury maybe dings it from an A. It's the guy I wanted them to draft. It also, a couple other things. To me, it's a big boy, grown-up approach here. We know Andy Weidel comes from Philly, where they have built through the trenches. They are trying to continue to do that. I like what it signifies in that sense. It either means, too, that the fact that they passed on Shedeur Sanders specifically, that was a smokescreen and Tomlin wasn't that interested in him, or if he actually was, that other people in the room talked him down off of that and said, no, we're going to make the sober, smart pick here.
NFL Network painted. Rap Sheet made it sound like Wednesday was spent debating this.
Well, then either scenario to me is good, because then if it's what Rap Sheet said happened, then other people won out over Mike.
Well, just doesn't that make sense? I mean, who was the person in the room other than Mike that would have wanted Sanders that they needed to talk off that
maybe
spot?
Art, if it was Art, they wouldn't have won. So that's, if it was a 2 or 3-on-1 battle,
and I
then
can't
I
picture
would think,
that it's Omar and Andy that are arguing for.
No,
I would bet every dollar in my bank account that it wasn't Andy who was arguing
I would
for
agree
Sanders.
With that.
So that makes me think if Rappaport's reporting is accurate,
it makes me think
then
Mike
it would
was
have
in
been,
a,
then it, that it would have been Mike who was still trying to talk everybody.
And you
into
know what?
Shitter.
If that talk failed, which it did, obviously, then good, because that suggests that there's like an actual healthy give and take, and that he's not just stomping all over everyone else in that room.
Well, there's
getting
a
what
give and take in this very specific situation because Harmon is the type of player that Rooney has wanted the entire time.
I mean,
you know?
But this is 2 out of 3 years, if you believe what I was saying, and I think you heard similar stuff.
About
that
Broderick Jones?
They moved him off of Porter at 17 to trade up to get Jones and then said, guess what? He's going to be there at 32.
Well, this is going to beg the question for later in the show. What if Sanders is still there in the third round for them?
Completely different calculus for me, and I'll tell you why later, because it's for later in the show. I will just say this. The only difference between this and what I'm saying about why I like it, because it's like a safe, boring, smart, like sober pick. The only difference between this and like what happened between 04 and 2012 is they don't have the franchise quarterback, but they didn't, and that would change some people's perspectives. They didn't reach in a soft class at that position, which I think is just a sign that the adults are in the room running things.
One of the reasons why I'm not really in the mood to play devil's advocate is because I want to root for this kid just based on all the trials and tribulations that he described regarding his mom and the fact that she was on life support. I'm literally crying listening to this guy talk last night and then replaying the ESPN story about his mom because it's actually that moving. Like, it's just the relationship there is something that I can't help myself as a human being wanting this person to be really good at his job and wanting to root for him to play well on Sundays because he now is a great person who plays for my favorite team. Okay, so there's that part, that bias that I am openly acknowledging here. But I would just disagree with you on just one fine point. I don't think safe and boring are the same thing. I think it's boring because it's a defensive lineman. I'm not sure it's safe. I'm not sure he's a slam dunk player to be that good. He might be. It's. I guess you could maybe argue it's safe in that the team that just won the Super Bowl devised a plan and put together a team that won with these types of players by just having really good defensive linemen in waves that bullied the best team in the NFL that had won the last 2 Super Bowls in the Super Bowl and blew them out. But he did only have 1 good year in college, and people debate how good that season was.
I think that part comes down to, like, what do you value when it comes to pressures versus actual sacks and TFLs
and
stuff?
It's not like so... You know, Aaron Donald did not go 21st. He fell out of the top 10, but he did not slip that far.
13th.
Thank you. Every Aaron Donald season was great.
Well, Aaron Donald season got better and better and better.
And this guy got better, insane. So you could say that's good. I mean, he's moving up. There's a trajectory. But if he had just left Michigan State after his final year there, he might not have been drafted. He had 1 season that put him on the map with NFL draft people. So I think that inherently doesn't make a guy safe.
Okay, but I would counter that with it's fair, and you can, and anytime you have a 1-season guy, there are questions, and there are plenty of examples on either side. So I'm not going to call out Joe Burrow as a quarterback because you could call out another guy who was a 1-season guy who stunk.
Kenny Pickett.
I'm glad you said it. What I would say is everything I read about that switch over to Oregon, and this goes back to even another, I think maybe the most emotional part of that story about his mom. Is when his mom said to him, you've done all these things for me, you've made all these life decisions for me, when he was thinking about going to Oregon, it's time you make one for you.
Yeah.
Everything I've read
about... Even though he then took that NIL money and helped her out, so even when she gave him
like... Again, just even
leave
more...
Leave the nest message, he still did something incredible
A-plus
for her.
Human being here. Yeah. Everything I've read about schematically, what clicked for him was that he went to a 3-4 there that was more like what he's going to play here, and that unlocked some stuff. Like, you know as well as I do, we both watch a ton of football. You get certain players in certain schemes, you might have a very different guy than you would otherwise.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy, and no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.